Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We'll do plenty of sports, right? We'll have Eric get home on the NFL draft at 9:30. Danny is going to join us from Grant and Danny. Talking Nats at 10. Emily Olsen on some soccer things at 10:30. Sam Pell on the Caps at 11:30. We got a stack show. But it just started off as a food segment. It wasn't even meant to be like a check-in on how Cody's body was going to survive longer than like another 10 years, and he's 24. But it did turn into that. A little bit of like, hey, man, let's do a little better for you. I don't care. It's not my problem. I'm just trying to make sure you're all right.
Between Cody and Ryan, they both...
Is Ryan bad too?
Well, as far as just being the co-producer of the B. Mitch and Finley show, they get it bad from those guys.
Yeah, I mean, that tracks.
Yeah.
Although JP's not one to talk. JP, this is a true story. I'm spilling tea. Obviously, JP and I used to work together on the beat. Not work together, but like worked beside each other on the beat for the 3 years that I was on the beat. And so, or the 3 years that I was here on the beat, I should say. And so, JP, who also knows my podcast co-host and fellow personal trainer, Chris Gores, would text us, group text. Sometimes he'd even tweet it so it could be public and we could just, it was like he wanted the public beating. He would go to 7-Eleven and get like a Slurpee and a hot dog or whatever and be like, am I doing it right? And I'd be like, look, we're not going to shame you for your food choices. That's not the kind of people we are. That's not a healthy relationship with food that we're trying to encourage here. But like, if your goal is to eat healthily, then no. That's not correct. James Patrick Paul, what I forgot what the P stands for, Finley. Anyway, also, I do need a report this week from JP. I did put an over-under on the number of pimento cheese sandwiches he was going to have at the Masters. All right, I asked B. Mitch what the number was. He said 5. I said over. So I'll have to check in with JP on that later in the week. Anyway, here we are. The point is, but the reality is there is no point. It's just, we're 4 minutes into the show, and this is where we are. So, again, NFL draft is getting ever closer. I just found out this week, actually. I'm excited. I will be hosting the first round of our draft coverage, so that'll be cool. Coming up on Thursdays, I think the 29th is the day that week. And then head into the weekend, and you have rounds 2 and 3 on Friday. And then rounds 4 through 7 on Saturday. So I'll be hosting for round. I'm pulling a Chris Berman, basically. The reality is that my parents are in town that weekend, and so I by the time CK asked me, can you do all 3 rounds, I had to be like, oh, I'm sorry, my parents are here, and they'd be really mad if I ditched them to go be on the radio. That's not, like, obviously in my past life, I would have been like, you can't come that weekend. I'm a beat reporter, and this is the draft. Now that I'm just merely a part-time host, I can be like, hey, sorry, my parents are coming. I haven't, actually, that's not true. I have been able to see them. But We'll all be vaccinated, so like we can act like real humans, which is very exciting. Got my shot on Wednesday. Maybe my arm will stop being sore in the next 2 days. But you know, it's the price you pay to be able to live like a human again once we enough of us get it. But I am pulling the Chris Berman first round only. I think I should just host in Chris Berman's voice the entire time. That could be fun. Welcome in to the NFL draft. So that'll be exciting. But Eric at home is going to join us at 9:30. And we'll start off talking about Trey Lance, because this rumor that Washington is interested in him comes from Mike Lombardi on his pod talking about it this week. Maybe we'll play that sound a little later in the show. But then this morning, Benjamin Albright, who typically has pretty good sourcing in Washington. Now, like, historical sourcing versus current sourcing is kind of irrelevant because nobody that used to be here is here anymore. But for whatever it's worth, like, Albright's typically, like, he kind of lives on the fringe of NFL media, but he typically is pretty good. He said, don't be surprised if Washington is the team that jumps up the most in the first round. I think there's no way. And I talked to somebody in Ashburn this week. Reporting. Ooh, he still can do it. I talked to somebody in Ashburn this week and was like, this seems crazy. And they're like, yeah, and this is like, wasn't someone directly involved in the decision-making process, but they were like, yeah, that does not track. I would be surprised. That would go counter to what I've heard. So whatever that's worth, I don't think that you'll see a massive move up. I do think that if one of these quarterbacks starts to fall, you could see them jump a couple of spots. And the question, of course, is like, how high are you willing to go and at what price? I did find it hilarious in Lombardi's podcast that he's like, they would really like to move up, but minimize the cost. Like, no kidding, Mike. I really want that Maserati, but only if I can get it for $30,000. Yeah. Yeah, of course. That's not really how this works. I'd really like to trade for LeBron James, but only if I can give up Ish Smith. All due respect to Ish Smith. It's not how any of this works. So the good news is that there's five quarterbacks that are first round grade type of guys. And of course, it depends on who you ask. Like, everyone's got Lawrence with a round one grade. I should say almost everyone. There's always the one scout who's like, I don't know. And like, maybe that guy winds up being right. But Trevor Lawrence is really good. Everybody loves Zach Allen out of BYU. Or sorry, Zach Wilson. I said it and I was like, that's not right. Zach Allen, is that the old Arkansas quarterback who like, no, that's Brandon Allen. No, Brandon Allen's one of my friends. There are too many dudes with just very generic names. Anyway, Wilson, the kid out of BYU. Everybody loves that kid. And now everyone's like, I don't know, maybe he's better than Lawrence. And it's like, I don't know. Maybe the multi-years of thinking that Trevor Lawrence is really good is probably accurate. Just not because he lost one game at the end of his career. But the one that I'm still trying to figure out the most is Fields. Ohio State quarterback. Incredible traits in terms of his athleticism. Ran a 4.4 at his pro day. He's big. He's strong. He's got a great arm. He's got good touch. You know, there was the Dan Orlovsky thing. And I love Dan. He's someone who's been really good. And I think he's very good at his job. And I think he genuinely puts the time in. But sometimes you get one scout that tells you something, then you pass it along, and you're like, I should have vetted that better. And I think that's what happened to Dan, because he's a quarterback, or a former quarterback, not a reporter. But Fields, you know, his ability to get through his progressions is really high based off the data, based off the tape. Pro Football Focus did an analysis, and the number of times that he came off successfully of his number one read was the highest of any quarterback in the draft. So he can read it. He can process it. He did it at not one, but two major schools. He did it at Georgia and was really good. And then obviously transfers to Ohio State and has success there. He didn't play a ton at Georgia, but like enough that you have a little bit of a sample size. And so I think that kid's awesome. You've got Mac Jones. That's the one that people seem to be all over the place on. Mike Jones, no relation, was on with B. Mitch and me on Thursday. And he who I think Mike knows has as good of a relationship with Kyle Shanahan as anybody, obviously going back to their days here when Mike was on the beat and Kyle was the offensive coordinator for his dad. No, he's not buying the Mac Jones at three thing. So you could see Lance there. You could see Fields there. You could see Jones there. And it's going to be a little nutty to figure out, like, okay, something gets upset. How far does one of these guys fall? And then, of course, Washington's got to say, like, okay, which one of these guys do we like? How much are we willing to give up? So we'll talk about that more in 15 minutes with Ed Holm. Which one, if you take away the top two guys, which one would he, if he's Washington, want to see fall? And we'll get scouting reports on the other ones and some other guys here in this draft. So we'll do that coming up. And at the top of the hour, we'll get into the Nats, who lost a heartbreaker last night. As in, the Dodgers just smashed their hopes early. It's a heartbreaker because it's a West Coast baseball game. And you stay up to watch, and then you're like, this was a bad idea. I didn't, but like maybe you did. Did you catch, by the way, Darius, the first hour of our show where B. Mitch was trying to tell me to get cable?
No, I did miss that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was like, this is a problem. Masson, how come we can't stream baseball games? It's 2021. And he was like, you kids, millennials, get, you know, you always want stuff on your own time and your own, like, I'm like, B. Mitch, I'm not asking for too much. I'm asking for the ability to watch a baseball game without cable in 2021 when every other major sporting event. I can watch German soccer if I want to. And you're telling me I can't watch a baseball game that's 2.5 miles down the street? That turned into an hour of calls defending me. It's a good job hosting by me. That's what that was.
I deal with the same issue. I have YouTube TV.
Yeah.
Can't get Masson.
It's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so if you stayed up, then that sucked for you. Same thing for the Wizards last night. That's where we go next. Beal sits out after hitting the game winner against Golden State two nights ago. Wizards, where are they at in this season? How much more time are we going to invest in them? That is the question. If you'd like to get in, 800-636-1067. The Gambit DC listener lines are open. I'm Craig Hoffman. Talking Zardos next with you on the Fan. It was close, and then it wasn't. Craig Hoffman with you on The Fan. Eric Edholm on the NFL Draft in less than 15 minutes. Last night, the Suns come out and absolutely obliterate the Wizards in the second half. Game was a three-point game at the half, thanks to a shot right before the buzzer by Jay Crowder. But in the third quarter last night, the Phoenix Suns dropped a 40-piece. Not just a 40-piece, 44, to be exact. 44-24. Outscored a team by 20 points. That team, your Washington Wizards. Russell Westbrook, hey, look, he had a triple-double. What do you know? 17, 14, and 11. Raul Neto, starting in place of Brad Beal, had 24. Nice, efficient shooting night. And 24 and 29 minutes, by the way. That's a good night at the office. But not enough, not close to enough, as Devin Booker goes for 27. Chris Paul, a double-double, 13 and 10. DeAndre Ayton, 14 and 10 rebounds. And the Suns win by a lot. And this is not terribly surprising. The Suns are very good. The Wizards are not. And it's the second night of it's the old Sega Bob, second night of a back-to-back, second game of a back-to-back. And the Wizards are without Bradley Beal. And so none, again, like, not going to make a big deal about getting smoked on the road in the second night of a back-to-back without your best player. But we are running out of games fairly quickly here. And the chances of making the play-in tournament are obviously shrinking as well. Right now, it's, again, 7, 8, 9, 10. I will admit that I had to look this up again the other day because this is a new thing that the NBA is doing this year. 7, 8, 9, 10 make it in the play-in tournament. Right now, that's Boston, the Knicks, the Pacers, and the Bulls in that order. The Bulls, the last team in, are 22-9. The Wizards are 19-33. So you're four games back in the loss column, 3.5 out of that tournament. Insurmountable? Absolutely not. You do have Cleveland and Toronto in the way, so you got some teams you got to pass that are, if we're being honest, at least in Toronto's case, definitely better than you are. The Raptors, by the way, have a positive point differential on the season. They've outscored teams total by 0.6 points per game, and they're 21-32. What a weird sport this is sometimes. Point differential is supposed to be an indicator of whether or not you're good, and they've got a positive point differential and are 11 games under 500. Anyway, the Wizards, by the way, are getting outscored on average by 5.5 points a game. One of the absolute worst numbers in the league. By the way, also, Charlotte right now is the 4 seed. They're 3 games over 500, which is hilarious that they're 3 games over 500 and currently have home court in the East. They're also getting outscored by 0.7 points per game. They have a negative point differential and have home court advantage in the East. So you start to dig into the numbers, right? And you're like, okay, well, then what does this mean for the Wizards long term? Well, right now, if you look at overall in the league, they have the 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth worst record. So, hey, you could be looking at a top five pick. All that has to happen is the lottery not go crazy. And you got a top five pick in a draft that's got some dudes in it. I don't know that anyone's like, obviously there's no super stud in this draft. There's no Zion Williamson. There's no Anthony Davis. There's no LeBron James. Those players come around legitimately once a decade. You can still get really high-end players, but there's not the, yeah, that guy's definitely going to be the best player on a championship team player in this draft, as far as we know. You know, Durant, etc. But, like, Jalen Suggs is really good. Cade Cunningham is good. There's dudes that we saw in the tournament and otherwise that are just good basketball players that would definitely be a great pairing next to Bradley Beal as long as Brad stays long-term and if those guys can grow up fast enough. Or that can be the kind of foundation that you eventually say, you know what? All right, we're going to punt. We're going to trade Brad. We're going to get a massive return and build around this new player. Maybe you even win the lottery. Then you have your choice of all of them. But when you start digging into the data, the pairing that is current, this will not surprise you any, is not great. So we talked about point differential. Darius, it's time for a pop quiz. You ready? Do we have pop quiz music? This looks like something's happening. This wasn't planned. Darius is about to pull some magic. Oh, yeah! All right. Pop quiz. The over-under is 0. So, are they being outscored or not? When Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal are on the court together, over-under, point differential for the Wizards of 0.
I'm going to go over.
The Wizards, when Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook are on the court together this season, which happens on average 24 minutes a game when they play in the 36 games they have played together, are a minus two. And then let me see, is this per 100 possessions? Or is this in general? Give me the glossary. It's just straight plus minus. So it's just minus two. Minus 1.9 on average. That's brutal. You know what I should have done? This would have been the professional way to do this. Let me see if I can do this real quick. I'm going to go to the Lakers. And we're going to see what the... when LeBron James and...
Anthony Davis
on the court together. Oh, boy. There's six pages worth of two-man lineups. Hold on. L. James and A. Davis. All right. Let's see. I'm going to put the over-under at six. In the 23 games they played together, on average, 22.5 minutes a game. Are they at least 6 points better than their opponents during that time?
I'm gonna think it's way over.
Not way over. 6.8.
Okay. All right.
So, because it's only 22 minutes.
Okay.
In those 22 minutes, they typically outscore their opponents by nearly 7 points.
Oh, that's fair.
On average. So, that's what the good looks like. And then you've got what Brad and Russ are together, which is a minus two. So, in terms of looking towards the future, yikes, bro. Got to figure something out. I know this is not groundbreaking analysis, but just reminded again last night. It's like, don't make a big deal out of it. Brad wasn't there. It's like, okay, well, when they are together, it's still not. All right, coming up next, Eric Edholm on the NFL Draft. He's great. It's NFL draft season, which for me means it's Eric Edholm season. Craig Hoffman with you on 106.7 The Fan. Now we go out to the BetQL guest line. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Mr. Edholm, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing all right. What's going on, man?
Just excited to talk some draft with you as I sit here reading your Mac Jones scouting report. And I'm not going to lie, Mac Jones is an interesting one to me, and obviously the rumors are hot right now that he's going to go 3 to San Francisco, and that's who Kyle Shanahan has circled there. And he was always a guy that I kind of just wrote in as like, yeah, he's the guy who gets to throw to Jaylen Waddle and Devontae Smith. And the more I read your report, the more intrigued I am in some of the, especially the backstories of how he was as a backup and as a scout team guy, which at Alabama, I would think actually has a lot of, like, you can take, oh, he only started one season and go, yeah, but he ran against the best defense in the country in scout team every day right. For a couple of years. So how does that factor into an evaluation, and how do teams try to make sense of Mac Jones as a prospect?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing teams notice is that, first of all, this kid was committed to Kentucky. Alabama offered him, and they already had Tua Tagovailoa signed in that class, and they already had Jalen Hurts as a freshman starter, and Max said, absolutely, get me in there. So you can tell the kid's not afraid of competition. And then, you know, running that scout team back in 2017, granted, he got suspended for a game for an off-field arrest. We'll get to that in a second. But, you know, he's trash-talking Nick Saban, you know, saying, like, you got to get your defense to stop us, you know, basically kind of taunting the GOAT of college coaches. You know, and it just shows how self-assured he is. I think everybody thinks of him as this sort of, you know, oh, he's a nice kid and this and that. Well, he's got an edge to him, too. And I think there was some immaturity early in his career. But, you know, everyone I've talked to suggests that, look, you know, it was a mistake. He got a DUI. He had a fake ID. I think he learned from it. You know, he's toned down a little bit of the edginess. But he's still an elite competitor. And is he a facilitator? Yeah. I don't think he's somebody that's going to just be a creator out there on the field. But if you have the right system and the right people around him, I think he can be very successful.
You and I were texting a little bit this week after the Mike Lombardi podcast came out where all of a sudden it says Washington is obsessed with Trey Lance, and I just wanted your take on Lance. So now that we're on the radio and with an audience, I'm sure you're going to be writing about Lance soon, but where does Lance fit into the quarterback equation through your scouting eye?
Yeah, I mean, I think he clearly has a higher ceiling than Mac Jones, even though I like Mac, as you pointed out. But, I mean, you know, you see what he did in a small sample size. Interestingly enough, both of them had 17 college starts. Now the difference being Lance had one of them in that showcase game against Central Arkansas this year. You know, the rest of the season was canceled for COVID. And the other 16 were during a championship season for North Dakota State. And, you know, I'm sure there's somewhat of a stigma against North Dakota State quarterbacks with Carson Wentz, you know, kind of flaming out of Philadelphia, and Easton Stick, the other guy in between the two of them, simply a backup to Justin Herbert. But, you know, this is a program that's produced now multiple quarterbacks in the NFL and is about to have a third. And, you know, his talent level is pretty exciting when you see what he could do as a redshirt freshman, leading his team to a title, both as a runner and a passer. You know, the thing that really kind of stood out to me was this wasn't somebody who was coddled in his first year as a starter. They didn't say, okay, if you don't have your first three, throw it away. Well, let's play safe. Let's use your legs. You know, he was asked to make protection changes at the line. He was asked to, you know, ID the fronts and make sure that everybody was in the right spot. There was a lot of check with me stuff that he did. And, you know, I look at that and say, for somebody that the University of Minnesota wanted to recruit as an athlete, like a safety, you know, this is somebody who processes, I think, pretty quickly. And imagine where he could be in 2 or 3 years, right? So you wish he had a season. You wish he had a little more time to develop on the field. But, you know, had he done so, we might be talking about somebody who's ahead of Zach Wilson and, you know, possibly the second pick in the draft and not a little bit lower.
Eric Edholm, Yahoo Sports, with us here on The Fan. I'm Craig Hoffman, in until noon today. As far as these quarterbacks, there's pretty much the consensus that it's five deep. Obviously, Lawrence and Wilson at the top, the two we just talked about, and then Justin Fields, who I find absolutely fascinating because I don't understand why he would be fifth. I have not watched a ton of these other guys, but, like, I've seen that dude play, and he seems really good. So if you're Washington sitting at 19 right now and you don't want to have to trade up to four, it may be best you trade up to somewhere like 9, but you're not willing to give up the farm for one of these guys. Who are you hoping falls? Like, if you are sitting in that room, you're like, man, I really hope we get lucky. Who's the one you want to get lucky for?
Yeah. I mean, who do you want? I mean, I would say Lance. And there's the thing with Lance is that, like, there are some teams that I think are really fascinated by him, but I think there are also some who are cautious because it's almost an unprecedented evaluation. The small sample size at the lower level of football, you know, the age, et cetera. It's just, you're requiring a lot of things to happen. Now, if Denver at 9 passed on him, let's say, if he somehow got that far, you know, there's some talking, you know, out in the weeds there that maybe New England is not going quarterback at 15. They may have other plans to solve that need and to bring in another person. So, you know, if you were to get to, you know, 12, 13, 14, they could possibly even wait, although there may be other teams lurking too. So, you know, Chicago Bears are right behind there. And, you know, New Orleans Saints, I think, could be aggressive after bypassing a lot of quarterbacks in recent years. So, you know, I think there's, if he were to get past that 9th pick somehow, because Denver, I think, is in the market for a quarterback. I don't know how aggressive they'll be, but, you know, there's a possibility. I mean, Fields would be the other one, too, because it just doesn't seem like he's in the cards to go number 3. So, you know, those are the two that possibly could fall a little bit. I'm not really banking on it. And then kind of the plan B for a lot of teams is going to be to see where Davis Mills ends up, because the Stanford quarterback who only had 11 starts, you know, this is a tough year if you want a breadth of work, but I would say there's some possible late first interest, possible second round interest. That's where I think he's going to be the 6th quarterback taken, and he'll be a lot of teams' consolation prize if they don't get one of the top 5.
How are teams adjusting to, I mean, they have to work with what they have to work with, but How different are the evaluations this year with the season being what it was and wasn't in 2020?
Yeah, I mean, you know, as far as the interview stuff, I think they kind of figured out that pattern last year a little bit and have worked around the, you know, the technical aspects. You always want to look a kid eye to eye and, you know, have them in the room and, you know, be able to sort of squeeze out the truth from them in that type of setting. But that I don't think has been upset that much. I mean, the biggest thing is figuring out the motives behind the opt-out players and saying, you know, talk me through your reasoning of why you left last season, or, you know, tell, just sort of give us an idea. And I think most teams have felt pretty good about the answers they're receiving, you know, family issues, you know, like Virginia Tech's Caleb Farley lost his mother a few years ago, didn't want to lose his father, understandably, you know, teams heard that. What are you going to do? Question the kid about that. So,
right.
You know, the pro day workouts, maybe there's some inflated numbers, you know, maybe there's some friendly environments that lend to higher results than the combine would have. But the biggest thing is the medical, not having sort of comprehensive medical information until a little later in the process. I think that's been the biggest adjustment.
Last question I have for you, or last question I have time for, and I'm going to be selfish here. Are we really going to get a Syracuse first round pick this year? First one since Chandler back when I was in school?
Ifeatu Melifonwu, I don't think so. I think he's top 50, but he's probably in that same Trevon Diggs area last year. I think he went 51st to Dallas or something. I could see him go. I thought there was a chance like a team like Green Bay could go after him late. But my feeling now is that, you know, first 15, 20 picks of the second round is probably a little bit more likely. He's a good player, though. I mean, I like him in that range.
You have him at 23 right now to the Jets in your mock, and I got really excited as I was scrolling through your mock draft this morning, and I went, Syracuse? That's
yeah, right.
We don't produce first round football players.
I know, right? Same with Missouri, my school. Yeah, I mean, when I send those out after I do the mocks, I'll send them out to a few people, and I'll get a few red marks back, like your eighth grade history test, and say, I don't think that's happening. I don't see this. We'll see, but I'm not feeling it, you know. So that I adjust after I make these mocks, and it does help me, you know.
Yeah, no, for sure. And to have the humility to take those red marks and adjust is nice, as opposed to being big-headed about it. But I will say the last one was Chandler Jones, and that worked out well. So, you know,
he's pretty good.
He's turned out quite all right. He was in my sociology class, clearly related. All right. I'm sure we'll do this again either right after the draft or right before. Always appreciate the time, especially early for you in Central Time. Have a great week, and I'll talk to you soon.
You got it, buddy. Thank you.
That's Eric Edholm, Yahoo Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Eric_Edholm. Read his, not just his mock draft, like there's a bunch of mock drafts on the internet. And as Eric said, like they're all guessing. They all get feedback. They adjust. That's cool. But Eric's scouting reports are, if you want to just like feel smarter about the players that are potentially going to get taken by your favorite team, Washington football or otherwise, his stuff is must read this time of year. There's a reason that he's on more than anyone else. And it's not just because he answers my text messages, because I don't even bother texting anyone else because he's the guy that I want. All right. Coming up next, who do you want? You just heard Eric on Trey Lance, and now we focus on what you want, and I'll give some thoughts as well. 800-636-1067. Washington football, if they trade up in the draft, your response is, you tell me. 800-636-1067. Craig Hoffman with you. Thanks. All them phone lines are open if you'd like to talk a little Washington football quarterback situation as we head towards the NFL draft in just a couple of weeks. It's a rainy Sunday morning. I've done this too many times. There's just days where I know I'm going to be on my own. I'm talking to people. It's not like nobody's listening, but the engagement level is not going to be there. And this is one of those mornings. And that's fine. I hope that if you're listening right now, you continue to listen and enjoy, whether you're listening on The Fan, the Odyssey app, or thefandc.com. Baseball's more your thing, Danny Ruye in 10 minutes on the Nat Notes. But if the Washington football team looks at their quarterback situation realistically, they have two simultaneous truths. They're good for this year, and they're very not good for the future. They're in a position where, long-term, they have no plan. And short-term, they have a really good one. Not championship level, that's fine. There's only so many teams that look at their quarterback situation and go like, yeah, that dude could win us a championship. Obviously, in Tampa, that's the case, as it was for years in New England, because it's the same dude. In Seattle, they're like, yeah, thank God our guys finally seems to be satisfied and happy because he could win us a championship in Russell Wilson. And then you have like the next tier of like, yeah, our guy's good enough if some other things go right. Like in Dallas with Dak, if he comes back healthy, the reason they sign him to the monster contract is because if Amari Cooper is fantastic why am I blanking on the kid they drafted out of Oklahoma? Darius, help. He wears 88. He's really good. Oh, my God. Why am I blanking? I've had it like six times. Dallas Cowboys, number 88. This is embarrassing.
CeeDee Lamb. There we go.
Jesus. Like, if Lamb and Amari Cooper are doing their things, and if Zeke comes back and is effective, like, Dak's good enough to get you there. But he's not going to be the reason you win, probably. Like a Russell Wilson or a Tom Brady, or obviously Patrick Mahomes would be. And somewhere below that is like, hey, if we have a Trent Dilfer year, and that's where Ryan Fitzpatrick is. And so you at least have that for this year. But long term, you'd like to at least get into tier two. You'd like to at least get into the, we'll call it for historical purposes, the Eli Manning tier. Right? Eli wasn't the reason the Giants won those two Super Bowls, but he wasn't going to be the reason they didn't win it in those particular years. He's better than Flacco with the Baltimore title. Is Joe Flacco elite? But if you can get to that tier, you know any given year, like, you're going to have a chance, you'll be solid. And that's really what you're looking for if you're not going to be able to luck into Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, obviously, historically speaking, a guy like Peyton Manning, Rodgers, Breeze, all those guys. So the question is, how do you get that guy? And does it involve a first-round pick? Can you wait, get the eighth best quarterback in, or I want to say the eighth best, but the eighth quarterback in the draft and develop him? Because you have that luxury, unlike most NFL teams. It's rare. Like, in some, like, and I'm not saying that Patrick Mahomes never would have been what Patrick Mahomes is if he doesn't sit the year behind Alex Smith, but like, that is the most recent example of this working to an extreme. Is Mahomes gets to sit behind Rodgers, and or gets to sit behind Smith, and then he turns out to be a stud. By the same token, Aaron Rodgers sits behind Brett Favre, turns out he's a stud. Brady sat behind Bledsoe. Obviously, he was a sixth-round pick. But, like, it can work. These guys don't have to play immediately. But Peyton Manning's one of the three, four, five best quarterbacks of all time, and he holds the rookie record for interceptions in a season. Russell Wilson came in right away as a rookie. Was awesome. Dak Prescott wins the job takes the job from Tony Romo when Romo gets hurt and literally never looks back. So there is no, I genuinely believe that unless a quarterback gets put into like the classic David Carr situation in Houston where he just gets battered, either a guy's probably going to be good or he's probably not. And so if you get the right guy late, who may just not be quote unquote ready right now, then so be it. So if you have that luxury, spending a second or third round pick is probably wise. Unlike, by the way, what Green Bay did last year, where they're like, yeah, we got our future quarterback. And it's like, I don't know. You're an NFC championship caliber game or NFC championship game caliber team. Maybe you should get your Hall of Fame quarterback someone to throw to. Look, you shame the callers and here they are. Let's go to Josh in DC. Josh, thanks for calling. You're on the Fan.
Hey, what's going on, Craig? Glad to hear you back on the radio, man.
Appreciate that.
So I personally, number one, I think we should draft a quarterback in this draft. I think it's definitely a need. But I envision two scenarios if I had, you know, my choice. I wouldn't mind trading up to get a Trey Lance or Justin Fields or even a Mac Jones if he falls. I'm not completely sure that San Francisco is going to take him at number three. But if one of those guys falls to us, he's there at number nine or even number 10, I think we should go down and get him. And then in the second round, we take our linebacker. And then the second scenario would be we get the linebacker in the first round. You know, I don't think Michael Parsons or somebody like that is going to be there, but maybe a Jamin Davis or, you know, even a Zaven Collins. You know, I trust our former linebackers and Rivera and you know, Del Rio to make the best decision on who's the best linebacker. But and then we grab a second round QB like a Kellen Mond or maybe even a Kyle Trask. You know, that's I think we got to go QB or linebacker QB. I think those are our two top needs, and I wouldn't mind trading up to get one, just not too high.
Yeah.
Not to pick anything like that.
Yeah, Josh, thanks for the call. I appreciate it and appreciate the kind words as well. That's exactly where I am. It's like, yeah, if you can do it without giving up the farm, then go get them. You know, I don't know why I'm just like all of a sudden the world's biggest Justin Fields fan, but like, I don't get why this dude's considered the fifth best QB. Like, go watch the Clemson game. Tell me you don't want that dude. Okay. But like, if he's available at 12, like, shoot, I'll take Justin Fields, especially in this offense with these weapons. You want to talk about being able to spread the field with speed? If you're an OC and you can't make a quarterback who runs a 4-4 with two dudes who run 4-3 at receiver, a stable of running backs who are all good to maybe really good in Gibson, but guys like McKissick they're good. Like, a versatile tight end in Logan Thomas, like, yeah, you got to shore up the line. The other position, obviously, and I agree with Josh that I think, like, quarterback and linebacker, ultimately your two long-term biggest needs, but like you need a left tackle too. You gotta like you make that work for sure. All right, let's go to Chris in Hyattsville real quick before we get to Danny on some Nats at the top of the hour. Chris, thanks for calling. You're on the Fan.
Yeah, a lot of things. First, I'd rather have Fields than Lawrence. I'm not confident that Lawrence can read an defense. I've never seen him make more than two reads in any game, but that's not neither here nor there. I am not a fan of trading up. I've never seen a scenario where, you know, unless you're trading up one or two spots, but I've never seen a scenario where a team has traded to move up to grab a quarterback where it's really worked out long term.
Didn't the Chiefs trade up for Mahomes?
But they moved up a couple spots. I mean, I think he was like the eighth or ninth pick or something. It's not like they mortgaged the future, you know, like. The Falcons traded everything up to get Vic. Well, that eventually flamed out.
Well, that's a little bit different scenario. The dude was league MVP before the off-the-field stuff happened. Like, he was incredible. By the way, KC traded 27 overall, a third-round pick, and their 2018 first-rounder to move up to 10 to take Mahomes. The Eagles, I know Wentz didn't wind up working out long run, but they did win the Super Bowl, and he was a huge part of it, and even if Foles finished it off. Oh, Chris hung up. I guess his phone died faster than his point. Also, I haven't seen Trevor Lawrence do this. If you were a good scout, you'd be working for an NFL team. I was having this conversation with CK this week, and then I'll get to Danny because I'm running late now. Like, if you're a tape guy calling into the radio station, relax. That's like seeing a professional baseball player hit 300 and going like, they're only successful 30% of the time. Give me a bat. Like, yeah, scouts miss, but they miss a lot less than you would. That's insulting. It's ridiculous. Stop doing that. Don't be that guy. End of rant. Danny Ruye, he played college baseball. Fun fact, he used to hit dingers. Now he talks about baseball and other things. He joins us next to talk about a late-night Nationals collapse and an early-season calamity on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.